Thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
If you want a title for the message today, it's called The Experience of Pentecost. There were things that happened that we're going to read about that happened on the day of Pentecost that we read of in the Bible that I believe that God wants us to begin to latch on to, and things that we need to begin to believe God to happen within our own lives. These are things that we need to believe God to begin to take place within our lives on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a regular basis. Because I want you to realize this, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever God did on the day of Pentecost that we read about in Acts chapter 2, hear this, He is still doing today. And He's still willing to do if we're just willing to believe for those things and willing to align ourselves to receive the fullness of those things within our lives. So in Acts chapter 2, we're going to start with verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, if we'll bring the scripture on the screen. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We read here within this passage of Scripture about the happening on the day of Pentecost. Now, many folks may not actually know what Pentecost is. Now, again, the title of this message is The Experience of Pentecost, but understand that Pentecost by itself is not an experience. Pentecost is a day. Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecostos, and it's translating means the 50th day. And Jews actually would celebrate Pentecost 50 days after the first Passover Seder. Now, Christians observe the day of Pentecost 7 weeks or 50 days after Easter, Easter being day one, then Pentecost becomes day 50. And it is when we as believers celebrate the day of Pentecost. In Judaism, it is referred to also as Shavuot, and Pentecost is celebrated during the Feast of Weeks that commemorates and celebrates the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, or the giving of the Ten Commandments. I think it's very interesting that on the day that commemorates and celebrates the giving of the law, the giving of the Ten Commandments, is the day that we actually see that there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Could it be that there was a significance in this, in that the Holy Spirit came to empower us to fulfill everything that God originally commanded us to do? Could it be that Pentecost signifies that now we as the body of Christ, that we can live without murdering people, hallelujah, that we can live fulfilling the commandments that we find in the Ten Commandments. I want everybody to hear this. There is nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. Every single one of them are rearticulated in the New Testament. Paul specifically quotes several of the Ten Commandments. One he actually quotes is, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. He says it over in Ephesians. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you'll live a long time on the earth. Paul quotes the commandment verbatim. So how many of you realize that? And there is nothing in any of Paul's teachings that says that the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant for us. However, what the Bible teaches us in the New Testament is that the Holy Spirit has come to empower us. The grace of God now has come and been released within our lives so that we can obey what God commanded us to do. You see, under the law, before Jesus came, they were not empowered to do what God had commanded them to do. There was a law that commanded them to do things, but yet because the flesh was weak, they were not able to fulfill it. However, look at somebody and say, however, in the age of grace, after Jesus came, after he died, after he was buried, after he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and after the Holy Spirit came, we began a day of grace. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we are free to live however we want to live. It means this: we are now empowered to do what they under the law could not do. Are you hearing this? We're empowered to do something. We're empowered to obey. You're empowered to honor your father and mother. You're empowered to live without stealing. You're empowered to live your life not as a thief. You can live above adultery. Amen? You can live above it all. You see, grace comes and the power of the Holy Spirit has now been released so that we can live an overcoming life. Can everybody say amen? Look at somebody and say, you're an overcomer. So you're designed to overcome. See, we're not designed to succumb. We're designed to overcome. We're not designed to give up and give in. We're designed to rise up and overcome every situation and every temptation. Amen? You're designed to be an overcomer. You're designed as more than a conqueror. You're designed to be a winner. You're not designed to be a loser. You're not designed to be somebody that's always falling prey to that which the enemy throws your way. You're designed to live in victory every day of your life with a smile on your face and hands lifted up high. That's how you're designed to live. Well, the Holy Spirit has been released so that we can live in that manner. And so what we actually witness on the day of Pentecost is what I call the very first Holy Ghost revival. And let me say this right now, we in America need a genuine Holy Spirit revival. We need the Holy Spirit to show up in homes and families. Let me say this, we need Holy Spirit to show up in churches. So many churches have said, Holy Spirit, we thank you now that we're born again, but as far as anything else that you want to do, you can just stay outside of the four walls of the church. But I want everybody to hear this. As for me in my house, as for me in this house, high praise. We say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We say, Holy Spirit, you can take control in this house. We say, Holy Spirit, do what you want to do. Lord, we say like Jesus prayed, not our will, but yours be done. Holy Spirit, we want you to move and we want you to minister in this church body. Amen? How many of you say that with me? Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, come and move in this place. Holy Spirit, show signs, wonders, and miracles in this place. Amen? And by the way, it's not supposed to be just limited to within the four walls of the church building. You see, because what happens here is we come together collectively and we learn about what the Holy Spirit desires to do so that whenever we walk out those four doors right back there in the back, we walk out empowered by the Holy Ghost so that whenever we have somebody that we're working with and they need a miracle, you say, no problem, I know the miracle worker. We've had some practice with this at our church. I've learned how to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I know that there is a power that is resident on the inside of me, but that will drive out sickness and disease. Amen? So we see the very first Holy Ghost revival. By the way, we didn't read the entire scripture there because I'm going to focus in on the first four verses of scripture. But whenever you read on down, what you'll find is that the power and the outpouring and the anointing of the Holy Spirit was never designed just to stay within a room. Because what happened is they began to come out of the upper room and they began to go into the streets. I love it because they didn't waste any time. They said, I've got a hold of something right now that I've got to let loose. This is what has been prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. I got a hold of something. There is something that has been deposited within my life that now is going to make a difference in the culture, in the society, in the city, and in the nation. Hallelujah. I started by saying we need a revival here in the United States of America today. We need a revival in Washington, D.C. We need a revival in our culture right now, because our culture is going the wrong direction. I'm not saying that to deliver some bad news, because I believe that most of you, if you have any kind of spiritual discernment whatsoever, you know that also. Our culture is going the wrong direction right now. We're going the wrong way. Whenever we begin to say that we're going to depart from what God has ordained, we're going the wrong way. Whenever we begin to define abortion and killing babies as a woman's right to choose, my friend, we have went the wrong way. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And we have to just say it and call it like it is, because listen, we'll never see a correction of the problem until first of all we say, God, we need a revival to happen. We need hearts to change. We need to be there to be a turnaround in the culture. We need a revival in the pulpits of America today. When preachers are afraid to get up and confront these things, my friend, we need a revival in the pulpits. If you're afraid that somebody is going to leave your church because you might step on a sore spot, you don't understand. That's political. No, it's not political if it's in the Bible and it's a moral issue. We ought to speak out, and we ought to speak out strongly about it. Amen. And the Bible has a lot to say about the value of life. The Bible has a lot to say. David said that God knew us before we were even formed in the womb. While we were still yet in the womb, God knew us. Listen, I don't care what your mom and daddy may have said to you, and they may have said that you were an accident, but I'm here to declare to you by the Spirit of God, you are not an accident. There are no accidents in the kingdom of God. You are purposed of God to be here at this time, at this season. You are called to the kingdom for such a time as this. There's a purpose for your life. There's a destiny that God has for your life. And so you have to understand that the enemy wants to kill that purpose, kill the destiny of God. And we see that happening today, even through abortion. We see things happening in marriages and homes are now being perverted by all sorts of things. But I tell you, when a society and a culture decides that they're going to put their stamp of approval on the practice of homosexuality, and say that it's okay for a man and a man to get married and adopt children, and it's okay for a woman and a woman to get married and adopt children, my friend, that society has lost their moral compass, and they have lost the way. And I declare to you that we need a Holy Spirit revival to come in America once again to revive us and turn us back to God and turn us back to what God's Word says. Let God be true and every man a liar. And anybody, I don't care who they are, and I don't care what kind of office they carry, but if they want to say things contrary to what God has ordered, then I'll say that they're a liar. Because that's what the Bible calls them. Let God be true and every man a liar. You know what that actually means? That means whenever we begin to go and speak things contrary to what God has said and what God has declared, that that person begins to be a liar. Listen, we don't need any more liars. Doesn't mean we hate anybody. We love everybody. But you know what? We need some boldness to come back to the pulpits of America. Thank God there are some men that are still got some backbone. But I will tell you that the majority are afraid to speak. And listen, if there's any pastors that are watching me by television, I pray that this will cause boldness to come into your life. I pray that there will be a backbone that you will get once again and begin to declare, this is the way of the Lord. Walk you in it. You're not condemning anybody. You're showing them the path of life. You're showing them the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Why have... How to get off on this? Why have pastors become afraid to speak the truth? Why preachers? And I declare that in this house, there are preachers, there are future preachers, there are future pastors, there are future prophets, there are future apostles, that God's causing a backbone to arise within them where they will stand and declare the word of the Lord, and they'll stand and declare the truth in the midst of adversity. When the culture's going the wrong way, they'll stand and say, let God be true and every man a liar. Let me just go ahead and say this also while I'm on it. Might as well. Listen, our nation needs to continue to stand with Israel. Now, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but I will tell you that there's always a blessing for those who stand with Israel. Spirit. We need to stand with Israel. If for no other reason, we want... Now, I know that we're blessed because of Jesus, but understand this. We are the fruit... But Abraham and the Jews, they were the root. Does that make sense? I mean, Judaism was the root. Now, Christianity is the fruit. And I believe that there's a great revival that God's going to bring in Israel. I believe that hearts are going to be turned to the Messiah. I believe that hearts are going to be turned to Jesus. But understand this, it's important that the United States of America, that we stand with Israel. And unfortunately, there's a lot of forces that are trying to push America away from standing with Israel. And we declare that those things will be bound. And we declare that they will be found. And we declare that they're coming down. And we declare that this nation will stand with Israel in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We need some Holy Ghost men and women today. Listen, I'm just allowing the Holy Ghost to speak and declare. So I'm not trying to teach you today. I have a great message. I got 9 points. I just have a feeling right now that we probably are not going to get to the 9 points this morning. But I believe there are some prophetic and apostolic decrees that God is declaring and making today. And we're saying over this region, we declare over Bay County that there's revival that is coming to this area. We speak over Orlando and speak over Seminole County and Orange County. And we say revival is coming. We declare that there is a move of God, that there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We decree it and we release it in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Go ahead and give God a shout this morning. Hallelujah. Listen, you'll be surprised how family situations change in the midst of a Holy Spirit revival. You'll be surprised how husbands all of a sudden fall in love with their wives and wives fall in love with their husbands in the midst of a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how people who were once worst enemies in the midst of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit all of a sudden begin to embrace one another. It's amazing how business deals begin to come together in the midst of a great and mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We don't need another revelation. We need an experience. We need an outpouring. We need God to show up. We need an encounter with the Holy Ghost like we never have had before. Is anybody listening to me today? We need an encounter with the Holy Spirit. An encounter. You see, although Pentecost is a day, it was an experience. There was something that happened on that day. And everybody hear this, it was not designed just to be something that happened on the day of Pentecost and could never happen again. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, we see that there are other outpourings of the Holy Spirit where the Holy Spirit would fall on people and they began to speak in other tongues. We see how all that, even the Gentiles, they're just standing there and they're listening to Peter preaching the gospel, and then all of a sudden, what happens is there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit right in the midst of the gospel being preached. My friend, it's about time that we see once again that we begin to believe God, that whenever we hear the word preached, that there's not just another impartation of knowledge to our head, but there's an impartation of the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. I came in planning to teach a nice message today. I feel some stirring in my heart today. I feel the Holy Spirit stirring. And there is a release of an app. Last week, the prophetic word began to come forth, and the Lord says that there's a roar that God's releasing. And hear this, it's not just a roar in the middle of worship. It's a roar that God is causing to arise within the church today. The sleeping giant is beginning to arise. I declare and I prophesy that the sleeping giant is rising up today. I declare in the name of Jesus that those who have been asleep, that those who have been slumbering, that they're waking up, that there's an alarm, there's a trumpet that's sounding, and the church is arising with power and glory today. Listen, the only way we're going to see this nation turned around, the only way we're going to see this nation turned around is with a revival. The only way we're going to see the values that men and women were willing to lay their lives down since it's Memorial Day, you know, the only way we're going to see those things secured and continue is if we are actually willing to embrace a Holy Spirit revival. I'm declaring in the name of Jesus that those churches, they won't allow a Holy Spirit invasion, that God will take those people and take them somewhere else, that God will raise up pastors that will lead them by green pastures, that will lead them by the still waters. I know I might get some people mad. That's all right. I'm not in a popularity contest. I already lost that a long time ago anyway. But God raise up some pastors that won't bow their knee to the seeker move. God raise up some pastors and apostles and prophets that won't say we would rather have the approval of man than the approval of God. Raise up, God, some Peters today that will say we ought to obey God rather than man. Man may say we want to go this way, but Lord, you said we're going to go in this direction. Lord, we'll follow you. We'll follow you. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Look at somebody and say, I have decided to follow Jesus. If you're visiting today, maybe you haven't heard preaching like this, but I feel a stirring in my heart and my spirit. I believe that, again, today is, it is Pentecost Sunday. It's a day that we celebrate what happened. And by the way, I don't believe that Peter, because what you'll read is that in the midst of the outpouring, people began to go into the streets of Jerusalem. And they're in the streets of Jerusalem. Now, what we've heard in modern teaching today is that if we speak in tongues whenever we come together, we're going to run people off. They didn't get that teaching in the early church. Hallelujah. So they go into the streets of Jerusalem. And they didn't, as they were coming down the stairs, going, hey, we got to cut the tongues off now. We might offend some people down there. We don't want people to think we're crazy or something. God forbid that somebody think that we're actually Pentecostal or charismatic or prophetic or apostolic. No, they come down the stairs, staggering like drunk men. They weren't bashful about it. They weren't shy about it. What has happened to the church? We have to conceal the fact that we are the gospel. We have to conceal the fact that we actually are filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. We got to conceal, and this is where it leads on to, I got to conceal to everybody that I'm even saved. You see, you continue to conceal things, hide it from everybody. I believe that we need some people like Paul that arise up and say, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Would you look at somebody and say, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the dunamis of God unto salvation. It is God's anointing that will bring salvation and deliverance in the life of those who will call upon the name of Jesus. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed that I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not ashamed that the Bible is the Word of God and it says what it means and it means what it says. Listen, my friend, if you're going to be ashamed and you got to conceal the commandments of God, then you might end up being one that God conceals the promise from you. I believe it whenever you're not ashamed to hear how I say this. It's not that God's trying to conceal a promise from you. It's just a matter of this. You're not going to be able to enter into the promise. If you're ashamed of certain things, my friend, then there's certain things that you're going to forfeit within your own life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what it says. I'm not ashamed of God's commandments. I'm not ashamed of what the Bible has to say about the present issues that are going on in the culture right now. You don't need to be ashamed. Will they call you names? Probably. You know, you got to be, whenever I was growing up, my daddy always told me, because, you know, people would call you names and stuff like this. He said, you just say this, sticks and stones, I know you've all heard it, may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Anybody here have been called a name? A couple of you. We've all probably been called a name at some point in time. Usually when somebody calls us a name, it's a name that we don't appreciate. It's a name that slanders us in some way. It's a name that is derogatory toward who we are and our character. But I want you to hear this. You know what? Peter even talked about it. He said, man, if you're persecuted for the cause of Christ, for the cause of the gospel, he says this. This is what he said. And by the way, you're not going to be persecuted if you don't make a stand. If people don't know you're a believer, you know, you're never going to be persecuted. But he said this, don't get a persecution complex, but I got good news for you. He said this, if people persecute you for Christ, for the cause of the gospel, this is what he says. Are you ready for this? The glory of God will rest upon you. What does that mean? That means you go ahead and talk, baby, because the more you talk, the more blessing that God's just loading on me. You just keep, go ahead and bring it, glory to God. Go ahead, say what you want to say, because the more you talk, the more blessing comes upon me. What did you say? Thank you very much. More blessings coming upon me now. You got anything else to say? Oh, thank you very much. The blessing of God's just coming on me that much more. Now, the first thing it specifically says that happens on the day of Pentecost, it says that they were all in one accord. Everybody say one accord. They were not in a Honda, by the way. They were in one accord, meaning that they were in unity. They were together. They're all on the same page. They're all in one accord in one place. They were unified and meeting together. Oh, praise God. They did this in obedience to what Jesus said, because Jesus said, I want you to, you stay right here in Jerusalem. You know, sometimes people need to learn to stay where God tells them to stay. Because a lot of times you won't receive what God has for you if you don't stay where God says stay. He said, you stay right here in Jerusalem until you be empowered from on high. Don't go anywhere. So they began to gather together. They began to pray together. They began to meet at the temple. The upper room was actually located there at the temple. So they go to the upper room and they begin to pray. They begin to intercede. I want everybody to understand this. In order to actually experience the same thing that they experienced on Pentecost, we have to understand that no person is an island to themselves. God didn't create you to be a spiritual hermit. God created you to be with people. He created you to be with the body of Christ. I've heard people say this before, you know, I love Jesus. I don't want to go to church because I don't like Christians and I don't like the people of God. And the unfortunate thing is this, that doesn't line up with Scripture. Because John said, if you don't love your brother who you have seen, how can you love God who you have not seen? The principle is this, if you really love God, then you'll really love your brothers and sisters. And if you really love people, you'll want to get around them. Now you have to understand, this right now is coming from the person that was probably one of the biggest loners in school whenever I was in high school and even going into college. I didn't like being around people. I was totally content being by myself. I'd lock myself in a practice room. I would practice my trumpet at least 4 hours a day. I am not exaggerating. My mother and father can tell you about that also, verify it. I would study my Bible. I would work on music. I would play the piano. I would do arrangements. I would go out to the practice room that my mom and dad had built, and it was like my sanctuary, so to speak. I think they just did it because they got tired of hearing a trumpet in the house. But anyway, I would go out there, and I would spend hours. I'd spend all day, if I could, out there. I didn't watch TV. I didn't know what was even on TV. I didn't really care about TV, so thank God for that. But I would spend all sort hours upon hours there. And so I just liked being by myself. But I will tell you that God did a work in my heart. And God began to change my heart. Because I began to realize what ministry really is. It's all about the people. It's all about the body of Christ. By the way, in case you didn't know this, ladies and men, you are, if you're part of the church, you are not just high praise, but you're blood washed, bought in the blood of Jesus. How many saved people do we have here today? Let me tell you what that means. That means that you are the bride of Christ. Look at somebody and say, you're the bride of Christ. We are all collectively a part of the bride of Christ. So men, you have to get accustomed to being called the bride. Ladies, you have to get accustomed to be called brethren. But this is the reality. For any of you men that are married, you don't want anybody talking about your wife. You know what? Whenever I start hearing people talk bad about the church, now, I know there's a lot of things that need to be corrected, and we need to confront those things. I've confronted some of those things, but I want you to hear this. We need to continue to love the church. We need to continue to love the gathering of God's people. We need to still continue to love what God loves. And if God loves His bride, then we ought to love His bride also. You know what? And whenever we love one another, then we begin to enjoy getting together. We begin to enjoy coming together, worshiping together, hearing the word together, you know, moving and ministering one to another together. Amen? That's what God created us to do. They were all in one accord in one place. There was no my ministry syndrome going on in that upper room. It wasn't about my ministry at that time. Oh, praise God. I don't have time to go there, but I could go somewhere with that. Listen, it ain't about any of our ministries other than the fact that it's about what God's called us to do. It's about His ministry that He wants to work through us. Can everybody say amen? Amen. But they were all one accord in one place. You see, that's the reason Jesus said, where two or more are gathered together, I'm in your midst. Where two or more are gathered together. Everybody say, gathered together. I'll tell you, one of the first things to be able to experience what they experienced in Pentecost is we got to come together. Have you noticed how that there is an increase of intensity and an increase of anointing that begins to take place whenever we begin to gather together? Again, we ministered on this last week. One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts. Again, whenever we come together here on Sunday mornings, we consistently have four generations of our family that are here. One generation puts 1,000 to flight. Two generations puts 10,000. Three puts 100,000. Four puts 1,000,000 to flight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, whenever generations, you can look at that in any way that you want to, but the reality is this: none of us are designed to function and operate by ourselves. Amen? The Bible goes on to say, and suddenly there came. Everybody say suddenly. I believe that we are in a season when God is releasing suddenlies. And if we're going to experience Pentecost, hear this, you must learn to expect suddenlies within your life. Let me define what this word suddenly means. Is everybody still with me? It means unexpectedly or unaware. So whenever the Holy Spirit was coming, see, they were praying. They didn't even know exactly what was going to take place. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen. They just knew that Jesus said, you wait here in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. But how's it going to come? Well, you just need to wait. You'll see. You ever notice whenever God tells you to do things many times, he's very sketchy on the details? He doesn't give you the whole picture. He doesn't tell you everything. He tells Abraham, hey, Abraham, go to a land that I'll show you. Well, where's it at? We'll just start walking. Go to a land that I'll show you. I don't know where it's at. Well, just start walking and I'll show you as you walk. Robert, go to Orlando. Well, where we got to have some type of residence. Well, just go. I'll show you. Within 30 minutes from the time we got there. You see, suddenlies begin to happen whenever you just begin to step out there and do what God told you to do. I just have to be obedient. That's the only thing God told me to do is be obedient. Where are we going to meet at? Within 2 days. Oh, hallelujah. Actually, it was the second day that we got there, we actually saw the place. We had to work a little bit to be able to get with the folks, but the Lord showed us where we were going to start the second day. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. See, God will bring suddenlies whenever you just begin to walk in obedience. I hear the Holy Spirit saying this morning that there are suddenlies that he is releasing in this house. There are sudden business ventures. There are sudden business opportunities. There are sudden contracts. There are sudden suddenlies that he is releasing. Now understand this. Again, the word suddenly means unexpectedly or unaware. So understand this. Whenever God sends suddenlies, it'll be what you didn't expect. You just knew that something was coming. Let me call it like this. It's a surprise package. God's got a surprise package for you. When God does things suddenly, it's a surprise package for you. It's just all of a sudden, bam, you get something. You weren't even expecting. It just, whoo, where did that come from? Whoo, boss called me in today. Big raise. Hallelujah. Boss called me in. He needs somebody to actually oversee things. He wants to put me in charge. And he wants to give me a $20,000 a year raise. Boop. Job I've been believing for just opened up. It wasn't supposed to be open for another 5 years. I don't know what happened to the other person. Could it be that God just suddenly cleared them out of the way so that you could step into what he had for you? He had something better for them, and he's got something better for you. Amen? Would everybody say, I believe for suddenlies? I believe for suddenlies this week. I want my surprise package. I want my surprise package. Anybody here, you ever had a surprise party? Anybody ever thrown you a surprise birthday party? Anybody ever thrown somebody a surprise birthday party? I've had a couple of surprise birthday parties thrown for me. And I'm telling you, it really surprises you. It shocks you. You just kind of like, you're floored there for just a moment. And I declare to you that there's some things that God's going to do within your life that's going to floor you. It's going to knock you over. I'm prophesying right now. I'm declaring to you what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying there is releases of suddenly things that God is going to do that's going to blow your mind. We've been hearing about it. The Lord's been saying it. It's been prophesied. I'm telling you, we're coming into the season where we see it manifested. We continue to get words of certain, you know, things that are happening within people's lives and how God is bringing, you know, just certain things. But suddenly, unexpected, the manifestation of the unexpected. Why was it unexpected for them on Pentecost? Because they didn't know what to expect. And so, you know, there's sometimes there's things that you need that you don't even know you need, but God knows you need. And so he says, you know what? I'm just going to give you a surprise package. Whenever our children were growing up, many times, particularly if I had to go on a trip or something, I wouldn't tell them I'm bringing them back anything. I would just bring them back something that I knew that they would like and that I knew that they needed, or sometimes they didn't even need it. Sometimes I just knew that they would love it. I'm telling you, there's something stirring in my spirit today. I'm declaring to you and I prophesy to you that there's things that God's going to release in your hands, not even because you need it, just because he loves you. And he knows that you will like it. Oh, does anybody want to grab hold of that right now? Does anybody want to grab hold of that right now? You see, God will begin to do things within your life. It's not because you need it. It's not even because you want it. He just says, you know what? I just want to do something to put a smile on your face. I just want to do something to bring joy within your life. I just want to do something extra special because you've been serving me, because you've been faithful to me. What I'm going to do is now, I'm just going to shower you with something. There's a surprise that I have for you. There's some surprises that God has for us. And I say, yes, Lord. Lord, let it come. Yes, Lord, let it be released in the name of Jesus. Would you give the Lord a shout today? Oh, hallelujah. It says that there was a sound from heaven. Hear this. Whenever God does something, it is always accompanied by a sound. That word sound there literally means a roar. Everybody say roar. Now, I'm going to say this one more time. I said there's a roar from heaven. So I don't want you to say roar this time. I want you to actually roar. Are you ready? Okay. So we're going to roar together. And by the way, let me just, before we even do that, you know, the Bible says that the enemy goes around as a roaring lion. You know why he goes around as a roaring lion? Because the only thing the devil could ever do is counterfeit. He is not capable of being the real. The enemy goes around as a counterfeiter. So he's constantly trying to counterfeit what Jesus has already done and already is. He's trying to pretend like he's God. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we all know who the real lion of the tribe of Judah is. We know that his name is Jesus. So understand this, anytime God does something, he does it with a roar. You know, see, and let me say it like this, God doesn't do it secretly so nobody can know about it. Because he wouldn't want anybody to know about what he's doing in the earth. He wants it to be very quiet. How many know that's not the way God does? How many know that's not what he did on Pentecost? I mean, everybody in all of Jerusalem knew what had taken place. Suddenly there came a sound, a roar from heaven. So are you ready to roar? One, two, three, roar! There was a roar from heaven. Now, I don't know if it sounded exactly like that, but I will tell you this. That's the way the writer of Acts, which happened to be Luke, whenever Luke was writing, he said, there was a sound that came from heaven, and it sounded like a lion, a herd of lions, a pack of lions, a pride, that's what they call them, a pride of lions just roar, came through there. There was a roar from heaven. Listen, I believe that there's new sounds in praise and worship that we can expect whenever we come together. Pentecost is about hearing a roar. Pentecost is about receiving a roar. Pentecost is about releasing a roar within our lives. Listen, God wants to release, if you can't release a roar here, you'll never be able to release a roar out there. You got to learn how to roar right now in the house of the Lord so that whenever you get on your job, you can still be roaring. You don't have to be bashful. You don't have to be shy. The righteous are as bold as a lion. You stand up and you roar wherever you're at. I'm not talking about being mean. Everybody understand that? You can roar with a smile on your face. Roar. I know I probably look kind of crazy, but you can roar with a smile on your face. Roar. I won't even go there. Men, you need to learn to roar with a smile on your face. Hallelujah. Your wife comes in. Roar. Y'all don't look at me in that tone of voice. Just don't bite. All right, praise the Lord. Rushing mighty wind. Everybody say rushing mighty wind. Sound of a rushing mighty wind. The word mighty, I'm coming to a close here, y'all. Hang on. Mighty means violent, and the word wind means to breathe hard or to blow. Please write this down. God always causes wind to blow before he does something fresh and new. He always causes wind to blow before he does something fresh and new. What did God do whenever he created Adam? He breathed the breath of life. There was wind that he blew into Adam. Noah, after the flood, Genesis 8, verse 1 says, God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. See, God causes a wind to blow in order to blow away that which has brought destruction within our lives. On the day of Pentecost, I believe that there was a wind that was blowing out destruction and blowing in restoration. Hallelujah. How many of the Holy Spirit is still, he desires to do that within our lives personally. He wants to blow out destruction and blow in restoration. Moses, the Bible says that God caused the wind to blow and the Red Sea parted. So that God caused wind to come forth in order that there could be deliverance brought forth. Elijah, God sends a whirlwind that takes him up to heaven. So God causes resurrection power to be released in the midst of a wind that is blowing. Everybody say, rushing mighty wind. How many want God's wind to be blown within your life? I tell you, I hear the Lord saying that there is wind that he's blowing in family situations. If you need God to blow on family situations, just lift your hands right now. The Lord is saying, I'm blowing in the midst of family. Hear the Spirit of the Lord today. The Lord is saying, I'm blowing in the midst of family situations. God says, I'm blowing out destruction and I'm bringing forth restoration today. Go ahead and give him glory and give him praise today. Hallelujah. It says that it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, what does that mean? That means this. The only people that got filled were the ones that were there. Can I tell you, there's sometimes you just receive things from the Lord just solely because you're present. There are times that we've had services, I mean just services where God, I mean, heaven comes down and kisses the earth and we get caught in the middle of the smack. There's healings, deliverances, all sorts of things that begin to take place in that. And I'll tell you, the only people that receive in the midst of that are the ones that are there. There's some things that you won't get unless you're there. That's the reason you need to be where God's told you to be. If you get where God's, let me tell you, divine connections are always where God's told you to be if you're there. Listen, if the prophet would have decided, you know, God told the prophet, he said, I want you to go to the brook Cherith. There I will sustain you. Where did God, and by the way, the word Cherith literally comes from the root word, which means covenant. God takes him to the place, oh, there's so much revelation here. God takes him to the place of covenant. And that is the place where God then brings provision. Can I tell you that your provision that God has for you will always be in a place of covenant. God brings people together and causes them to cut covenant. There's a covenant among believers, and it's in that place that God causes needs to be met. God calls his provision to be in that place. And so anyway, but listen, I said all that to say this. Elijah could have went anywhere. He could have went by the brook Footy Duty. There's probably not one called that, okay? But I'm just saying he could have went to any other brook. There would not have been provision. The ravens would have showed up at the brook Cherith. And the ravens would have been looking around with bread in their mouth going, where's the man of God? We brought bread for the man of God. He's nowhere to be seen. We can't go anywhere else because this is where God told us to fly. Can I tell you, sometimes you just got to be where God wants you to be, where he's told you to be, because there's provision in the place where God's told you to be. It's in the place called there. There's where God brings provision for you and for your family. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with this. It says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I got about four other points, but I'm not going to touch them. It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak. Let's just forget about tongues for just a moment. Even though we believe that that is the initial physical evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we believe that tongues is for everybody. We believe that every believer can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everybody believe that? But notice it said they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. Understand this. The experience of Pentecost will cause you to begin to speak. It'll cause you to begin to open your mouth. God didn't call you to be somebody that never says anything. God's called you to open your mouth. As a matter of fact, he says, open your mouth and I will fill it. Well, you don't understand. I don't know what to say. Well, neither did Moses. But God filled his mouth. Hallelujah. And I will tell you, my friend, if we'll just be faithful enough just to step out, if we'll just take the first steps and just step out of the boat, God will cause us to walk on water. If we'll allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work through us, we can begin to speak words of life to those that are around us. There are people that you work with. There are family members that you see on a regular basis that need what you have on the inside of you. You're not here in this church just so you can hear me preach and just so you can bring your tithe and your offering. You're here so that you can be equipped, so that you can go out and release the words of life to those around you and begin to touch the community, begin to touch your family, begin to touch your coworkers. You're not here just to hear a message. You're here to get activated. You're here to get stirred. And again, like I said before, you know, it's not so much we need another revelation today. Man, if we just start practicing what we know, we don't need so much a revelation, we need an inspiration. I'll say that again. We don't need another revelation, we need an inspiration, glory to God. We need a Holy Spirit kick so that we'll get up and start moving. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, the army has been laying down with their weapons beside them, taking a nap, and I believe that there's some Holy Spirit drill sergeants that God's raising up to say, hey, army of God, it's time to arise. Pick up your gun. Pick up all your weaponry. It's time. Come on. I ain't your mama anymore. Get up. Hallelujah. Let's go. There's a battle to be won. There is a war to be fought, and we're going to take the hill for the name of the Lord, for the kingdom of God. Can you stand to your feet and give the Lord a praise today? Come on, give the Lord a praise today.
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.